The Old Testament scripture reading today is from Genesis 28, verses 9 through 19. It's about Jacob's dream at Bethel. Jacob left Beersheba and went towards Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place. And he dreamed that there was a ladder set up on the earth, the top of it reaching to heaven. The angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood beside him and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the father God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and to your offspring. And your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. Know that I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had placed under his head, and set it up for a pillar, and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. The gospel reading today is from Matthew 13, verses 24 through 30. It's about the parable of weeds among the wheat. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came to him and said, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from? He answered, An enemy has done this. The slaves said to him, Then do you want us to go and gather them? But he replied, No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, Collect the weeds first, and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. A little bit later in Matthew, it says, Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples approached him and saying, Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field. He answered, The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. And the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers. And they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen. This is the word of Christ. Glory to you, O Christ.
Thank you, Loretta. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Robert. Have you ever seen this movie poster before? It's the 1998 American science fiction comedy drama movie, The Truman Show, starring Jim Carrey as the main character, Truman. In the movie, Truman's whole life turns out to be a worldwide live show. It's an interesting movie. that makes you think about your life. Here is another famous movie poster. Same movie, different poster. From a distance, it looks like a picture of the main actor and comedian Jim Carrey's face. But the closer you get to the poster, the more Truman's face blurs and you realize that the poster is made up of thousands of tiny pictures from Truman's life. I think it's a brilliant idea of promoting the movie about life. The subtitle of the movie is The Story of a Lifetime. Your life is consisting of memories of your lifetime. Even though you are here and now, all your past is remaining in your brain with probably thousands and thousands of memories of your experiences, your feelings, and your relationships. I'm sure many of you are thinking about your life as we all are living in this pandemic time. We realize that there are just so many things beyond your choice or your control. Well, your life itself is given by God as a precious gift, yet you were never given a chance to customize your own life, especially before your birth, right? You didn't get the chance, you didn't get to pick and choose. Now, regardless of your age, think about your own life. Reflect on your own life, the past, the present, and the future. While you cannot change your past, you can still make your choices in your life in the present. And your future will be determined by how you make your choices today. This morning, through the parable of the wheat from the Gospel of Matthew and the life-transforming story of Jacob from Genesis, I'd like to invite you to examine your life and how you can transform your life, especially when living in this crisis time of the pandemic. Number one, we all are living in a challenging time with constant fears and conflict. According to Jesus' parable of the weeds, we, being the good seed, are the children of the kingdom. Problem is, until the great harvest in this world, we must live with the weeds that represent the children of the evil one. John Lennon's song, Imagine, is beautiful. Imagine all the people living life in peace. However, even though this song inspired the whole world in 1970s and after, the reality we still have today is we are overwhelmed by a great deal of divisions, hatred, prejudice, anger, apathy, and hostility. There is an English expression, sleeping with the enemy or living with the enemy. As the good seed, you want to grow into the good wheat, but you are always challenged by the wheat. You must put up with all kinds of evil words and evil deeds. It's like your patience is always being tested. Your enemy might be COVID-19. We don't even know how to get rid of all this deadly virus yet. Your enemy might be some bad people Whoever always bully you, attack you, and despise you for no reason, or because of certain different opinions or values from yours. Your enemy might be your given circumstances that make you always worry and anxious at all times. Yes, you are living in a challenging time with constant fears and conflict. You must endure this time of living with the weak. How can you do it? Number two, always remember who you are in Christ and be true to yourself. You are not alone. Everyone is going through the same situation called life. Life is tough. Life is harsh. Why? Even though you know and consider yourself a good guy who is trying to do good as the good seed, yet your enemy could see you as a bad guy, as the bad seed, the evil one. Those evil guys have their own perspectives on everything under the sun. You know what? It's true that we were indeed God's enemies before our relationship with God was established. We were alienated. We were separated. We were trying to enjoy our lives without God. We were trying to do or have nothing with God. Definitely, being the non-believers, we were God's enemy. However, even after becoming Christians and the disciples of Christ, we could be the enemies of God if we still do not do God's will or follow God's ways. Remember when Jesus rebuked Peter? Do you remember Jesus called him what? Matthew 16:23 says, "But he turned and said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things.'" Was Peter really real Satan? Not really, but Jesus called him so because Peter was not setting his mind not on divine things, but on human things. Jesus' harsh reaction toward Peter implies that anyone who could end up as an enemy, as Satan or devil or whatever evil one, if not pursuing the divine thing. That's why we always have animosity and tensions against our enemy and vice versa. However, you know who you are. Remember who you are in Christ. God loves you. God saves you. The Holy Spirit empowers you. For the righteous things, all for the noble things, and all for the loving things in your life. Sometimes, unfortunately, you could be mistaken and falsely accused of bad guys or evil ones, even though you are trying to do right things and just things for the kingdom of God. Even Jesus warned us many times. However, always remember who you are. You are the good seed. You are the children of God's kingdom. You are following Jesus with your whole heart. While living in this time of confusion and hostility, however, do not ever become any weak. Do not ever compromise your identity as beloved children of God. As long as you are being faithful to God, being loving to others, and being honest to yourself, you would remain as the good seed that is growing and thriving for the great harvest. Number three, discover and rediscover your battle for the rest of your life. I came across this interesting article about life. The author is unknown. It says, "First, I was dying to finish high school and start college. And then I was dying to finish college and start working. And then I was dying to marry and have children. And then I was dying for my children to grow old enough for school so I could return to work. And then I was dying to retire. And now I am dying. And suddenly I realized I forgot to live." Unquote. Probably this unknown author might have died and gone already. But we are still here. We realize that it is not too late to live a life, a real life of bearing fruit. This morning, along with the parable of the wheat, the Old Testament lesson gives us a significant lesson on life. I'm sure you are familiar with the story of Jacob from the Genesis. Jacob is a cheater. Jacob is cunning. Jacob is running scared. Jacob running away from home and everything. Jacob is struggling and tired. Probably in his mind, many things are going around. Most of them are anxieties, worries, and especially the fears of not knowing what is going to happen next in his life. However, we all know that by the grace of God, Jacob's life is about to change that special night. And he is dreaming about God's promise through the image of the ladder reaching to heaven. Rabbi Harold Kushner, in his book, Living a Life That Matters, writes about Jacob's experience. He wrote, quote, "In the dream, God assures Jacob that he will find favor in God's sight. He will outgrow his embarrassing habit and be a good person. And God promises Jacob that he will go on to be successful, that he will matter to the world." Unquote. It is exactly the message Jacob needed to hear at that moment. And it is exactly the same message we all need to hear as we are living in this challenging time. From the Genesis passage, Jacob is finally awake. Listen to Jacob, who sounds like a new person. Verse 16, "Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, 'Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it.'" He used to be a con man and fugitive. He was fearful and desperate. Even after waking up from his dream, in reality, nothing seemed to be changed. Nothing in his life or circumstances. Dream is a mere dream, but reality, you cannot change it easily. Even though nothing is changed, one thing is changed for God, Jacob for sure. His heart is changed. He realizes something truly spiritual, amazing, and crucial. If I can paraphrase Jacob's mind, he would have said, "No matter what kind of hopeless situation I am in. No matter what kind of the obstacles I must overcome, here I am. God is with me. I have this assurance of God's presence for the rest of my life. In Genesis verse 17, Jacob continues, "How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." What an amazing confession and amazing place it is. We all know Jacob called that place as Bethel. In Hebrew, Beth means house and El means God. So it is the house of God. There are many Jewish synagogues, temples that are named after Beth El. One of them is in Riverside, Temple Beth El. Some of you might recognize the temple on Central Avenue in Riverside. I took this photo when we participated in Crop Walk some years ago. However, Bethel is not necessarily a place or location or building. I can ask you this question this morning. Where is your Bethel? It can be anywhere you praise God's name, you worship God, whether it's in a sanctuary or at your home. Yes, your home can be your Bethel, and your Bethel can be anywhere you help or love someone with God's love. God is not confined in a building. God is not confined in a temple or a sanctuary or a certain one place. God is everywhere, especially when we love one another, God is with us. Yes, God is in your heart, in your mind, and in your relationships. 1 John 4:12 says, "No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is perfected in us." Yes, we need to keep discovering and rediscovering our Bethel in our life journey. That search would be an awesome joy. My brothers and sisters in Christ, we've been hearing that this COVID-19 crisis is getting worse in many states, and still we've been battling our lives with many challenging situations. Take heart. You are brave enough to endure anything. You are strong enough to overcome anything. And you are courageous enough to move forward regardless of any challenges. Change your life mode from passive to active. Keep discovering your own better in your life. If you cannot find your better, you can create one where you are now, just as Jacob made the pillar of God's assurance. Yes, unlike the day of reckoning for the wicked weed, you, the good seed, the children of the kingdom of God, will shine like the sun in the end. The last verse 43 of this parable. "Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father." And again, Jesus emphasizes the importance of this parable. "Let anyone with ears listen." So today, listen to Jesus and be anxious for nothing. Let me close my sermon with an excerpt from the book entitled "Anxious for Nothing, Finding Calm in a Chaotic World," written by Max Lucado. "Today, I will live today. Yesterday has passed. Tomorrow is not yet. I am left with today. So, today, I will live today." We live yesterday? No. I will learn from it. I will seek mercy for it. I will take joy in it. But I won't live in it. The sun has set on yesterday. The sun has yet to rise on tomorrow. Worry about the future? To what gain? It deserves a glance, nothing more. I can't change tomorrow until tomorrow. Today, I will live today. I will face today's challenges with today's strength. I will dance today's words with today's music. I will celebrate today's opportunities with today's hope. Today. Thanks be to God. Amen.